Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and that means it is time for Talk on the Rock. I'm your host, Cindy Sweat, sitting in for June, who is out recreating herself. And in our studio, our guest today is Corey Delabrue. Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, and it's actually did we schedule the weather? It's a great day to talk about outdoor recreation.
Absolutely.
Just, when I walk around town, you see everybody out, and it's just great to see everybody out enjoying the sunshine.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Perfect weather for talking about recreation. And I want to remind people before we get into the conversation that this is a community call-in program. So we hope that you will call in and ask Corey a question or make a comment on some of the programs that we're talking about today. And our number here is 874-2345. So thanks for coming in, Corey, taking some of your sunny day to come inside and talk to people about recreating outside and community programs.
Yeah, actually, so I did get outside this morning because one of our community programs is working a lot with youth. So just this morning, every Tuesday morning, we work with Parks and Rec Summer Program, and we meet them at a different location in Wrangell and go for a hike or do a fun outdoor education activity with them. So I did get my dose of sunshine this morning.
Nice. So what age group is that?
Summer Rec, and that's signed up with Parks and Rec. We work a lot with partners in the community. So the kids that are signed up for Summer Rec, that's like 6 to 11. I think 6 to 11 or 12. So in that age range, sorry. To check with Parks and Rec for the definitive answer, but we just partner with them and meet with them at different places. So
what was today's event?
Today was a fun one. They all got to be junior rangers. So the Forest Service has a program of Tongass National Forest junior rangers. Actually, anybody can come into the office and do this. We did this as a big group, but there's a booklet that's available. It was created for use at the Mendenhall Glacier, where they get a lot of visitors off of cruise ships and everything. But we get some as well, so it's a benefit for us. And it's a booklet that once kids fill out, they get a badge and a patch for completing the booklet. But we kind of deconstructed the book and posted them along the trail today. And we did that kind of the activities together along the trail. And then at the end, everyone got their official... Everyone took the official Junior Ranger pledge and became awarded their pin and badge for the day. There's like 22 new Junior Rangers.
Official
out there today. Yeah.
Junior Rangers out there in the community. Awesome. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
And then the other youth program that we have going on for the summer is Fridays at the library. We do Read with the Ranger, and that's through June and July. Kind of helps correspond to that summer reading program time frame. So it kind of helps encourage them to read books. But it also, actually, a lot of the kids that come to that are kind of that younger group that maybe can't read yet and it's not working with the summer reading program yet, but is interested in books. And then we usually do kind of a nature-themed activity, either a craft if it's, weather's not perfect out there, or we go outside if it's nice as well.
So speaking of that, that's on Thursday.
That's on Fridays. Friday mornings at from 10 to 11:30.
Okay. And so coming up this Friday, if kids are interested in reading with a ranger, what's on the agenda?
The agenda is predators.
Ooh.
So we have a real fun collection of skulls and all that kind of stuff in my stash. And so the seasonals that work for me this year, they're like, oh, we want an excuse to use these really cool skulls. And so I was like, yeah, okay.
Do a thing on predators. So kids are out on the trails, they're in the library, they're learning about their environment, they're getting outside. Why is that important? We all know why it's fun, but why is that important for young folks?
I feel like Wrangell is almost easy to encourage kids to get out. It's not one of those harder places, In today's age, there's so many like competing things for your attention, whether it's like indoor stuff or even just like during the school year. I do a lot of school programs as well. There's a lot of like, you spend your time indoors. And I think this the competing ideas of, like, you know homework and video games and stuff that pulls you inside, phones, all that stuff that kind of pulls you inside, especially here, you know, in the wintertime with, you know, our weather that kind of pulls you indoors. It's, you know, summertime is a time to celebrate being out. So I think in Wrangell, it's almost not as prevalent as elsewhere, where you get like this, you know, phenomenon of kids like spending more time indoors. And
we want to be outside.
Yeah, because we want to be outside, especially like on days like today. So I have heard, you know, of course, you always get the, it's too hot.
Well, let's go on the trail in the shade.
I think, you know, and there's always, you know, we always set these locations ahead of time, but, you know, there's always, I feel like there's always an outdoor place, no matter what the weather, you know. If it's really hot, you know, you go to the ocean. And in the winter, when it's, you know, it's too cold, you know, there's always options. Like, you just put on, there's no bad weather, only bad clothing. That's the saying,
right,
only bad gear. Yeah. So
it's, well, I think it's, great for kids to get out and experience their surroundings and learn a little bit about nature, but also enjoy having some fun while they're doing it, get a little bit of fresh air and exercise.
There's so many benefits. I mean, for their own, you know, health. You know, we all need a little bit of vitamin D after, you know, here in Wrangell. You know, and just exercise, the health of being outdoors. It's better for your mental well-being being outside. So there's lots of benefits to that. And then, you know, for me working for the Forest Service, benefit we have is like, we want, this is, you know, I work for public land agency and it's like public and this is the future. So we want to make sure that the future, you know, cares about their public lands and that they grow up and when they're adults, they want to care about this land in terms of protecting it, in terms of saying that it's important to them. So these are things that we want to prioritize our national forests.
And just growing up appreciating.
Yeah, and appreciating that. So when you start young, you know, you start appreciating it. And that's so that hopefully you're older, you know, you kind of hope for like a, you know, an ethic, you know, of protecting the land, you know, and taking care of it for others. And but then also just being also, I think another thing I mentioned today is like kind of this kind of respect and also just pride. Like the Tongass is the largest national forest in the U.S. And it's like, we should, you know, this is our backyard. Like we need to like have pride in that fact. So
it's a pretty lovely place that we get to live in. So yeah,
these kids are so lucky.
Great that they get to learn about how special it is at a young age. So you were talking about partnerships. You, you know, partnering with the library, partnering with Parks and Rec, and also we have another event coming.
So my big event, the reason I'm really, you know, promoting really this whole week is Pat's Lake Family Fishing Day. And we partner with that as well. Actually, I didn't even start that. That one was started actually back by the Boy Scout troop. Shirley Wimberly, Kim Powell had a Boy Scout troop and they're the ones that started it. And I was just kind of, you know, helping with that. And then, as their, you know, as their scout troop kind of, you know, moved on, you know, to think about they age out of of high school and they, you know, they move on to other things. And so I wanted to keep that going. And so, we've kept that going. This is the 7th annual year for that. And ADF&G, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, they come over and help. They bring their really cool lure making kit, so you can help. You can kind of use like the different beads and spinners and kind of design your own lure for the trout in the lake. And then the Skeen Sportsmen also donate funds so that they can provide lunch and also some really cool door prizes just for showing up. You put your name in a raffle and you can end up winning a really cool prize.
That's amazing.
So
that sounds like,
and again,
fun.
It's all encouraging kids to get out and rain or shine, you know, you can always go out, you know, Pat's Lake is, and we picked that, I think they picked that spot because it's, you know, close enough to town that people can get to, you know, off the just, you know, paved road, but then, you know, also far enough away that you do feel like you're out, you know.
Right. It's accessible.
In nature, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's easy for a whole family. If you have little ones and that aren't maybe ready to fish, but you have older ones that definitely want to get wet and make some lures and try to catch some trout.
And we provide we provide lots of activities. So for the little ones that maybe aren't as interested into fishing, we have like fish print t-shirts that we make with our rubber fish. So they don't even have, even in case you don't catch your own fish, you know, that's why we have the rubber fish provided. Also, it's a little cleaner.
Yeah.
A little less messy. There's a little paint a little everywhere. There's fishing make, so there's fish print t-shirts, there's lure making, there's lunch. If kids aren't that used to fishing, there's some people on hand that'll help help them practice casting. We have some extra poles that we, rods that we have just weights on, so they can kind of practice casting before they try the real thing.
That's a really good place to practice that, mm-hmm. too.
Actually, it's a month light.
So in the lure making, do you talk about, do the kids, you know, kind of look around and try to figure out what the fish are eating and make a lure
so
to match that?
That's kind of more for, like, fly tying with that. Yeah. So this is, like, you know, your shiny.
Right.
This is, like, your shiny, like, spinner type lures with the spoons on it. And Patrick Fowler from ADF&G, he comes in, and so he can talk a little bit more, you know, tell the kids more about, like, you know, if you're targeting trout, you might want something like a smaller, or if you want to make one for salmon, you know, for the saltwater, you might want some of this. And so he's really good about that.
That's great. That's
your
really
bright
fun.
Colors. You have lots of pink, you know.
Mm-hmm. Something flashy. Mm-hmm. Something that's going to, some bling, some fish bling.
Yeah. Oh, and I should also mention, so the whole thing that makes, you know, we schedule it around this time is that it's because the Alaska ADF&G has special youth fishing regulations. It was both last weekend and this weekend as well. So Saturday, Sunday. So if you can't make it out to Saturday's fishing day, Sunday also has the special youth fishing regulations, which are during the Saturday and Sunday, youth under 16 years of age are allowed to use bait in the lake and can keep 2 cutthroat trout per day with no size limit. So I wanted to read that there so I had it correct. But it's special youth regulations to kind of help it make it a little, because when you, to kind of instill that love of fishing, you kind of, it's kind of helpful if you catch fish.
If you so can
make it a little, try to make it a little easier to catch fish.
Right. Yeah.
Just weekend.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. I think last year we had like over 50 kids show up. It was busy. It's fun.
That's great. That's a great turnout. So again, that's this Saturday.
This Saturday from 10 until 2, you know, so lunch is around noon, but people can kind of come and go as they want. Anytime. We'll be out there with activities during that whole time.
And of course, dress for the weather, whatever.
Oh, yeah. And then most time, you know, hopefully kids will bring their own fishing rods and like PFDs, though we do have a few spare PFDs and rods out there for some kids that don't. So don't let not having anything be a deterrent.
Yeah.
Stop you. Like, come on out. Or just enjoy the other activities we have out there as well.
That sounds great. So that's a lot of kid fun. Any other child-related programs before we get into
our basic youth programming, though we're also always up for, like, special requests. Like, if a scout group or youth group or, you know, have an idea, you know, we've done that in the past. We're up for special requests as well.
Okay. So you heard it. Special requests. If you have some great ideas, give Corey a call.
Oh, yeah. I always love to hear from people.
How can folks reach you if they have an idea?
You can call the front desk of the Forest Service at 874-2323 and ask to talk to me, Corey Delabru. But I'm always, you know, willing to kind of come up with new things as well. That's actually the beauty of our kind of outreach program here, is that because we serve the community, we can change things up and come up with new things all the time. So that's why I love my job and why I have a fun time doing outreach here.
That's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Friday night potlucks, and then we'll take a break and encourage people to call in, and then we'll get back to some other topics. So the Friday night potluck and campfire programs, those are going on now, I think, through the end of August. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So August 30th. So every Friday night until August 31st. So, and that's when, and that, this has been going on for a long time. It started way before me, you know, back, with some early campground hosts, and unfortunately we no longer have campground hosts out there, but the potluck tradition has continued. And that's fun, especially my favorite times are when we can get, the campers out there plus our visitors. And mm-hmm. so there's usually, our local community members. There's usually always, you know, our local community members that are out there that have been going, again, for years, for longer. I've been here 8 years, but they've been going out here longer than I have. And, but it's really fun when we can mix the group with visitors. So we kind of share, and visitors can get a real taste of Wrangell when they actually interact with, you know, the people that live here. And so that's always kind of fun. They love it, because it's like, you know, it's like we always advertise Wrangell as, like, you know, this authentic town, and, you know, in this way of, like, mixing and meeting ideas. And then also, we also learn a lot from our visitors as well. So, for example, the first week, we started June 1st, and we didn't really have any program plan. We were just going to have, you know, our dinner. And the Australians that were paddling the Southeast, they started in Glacier Bay, and they were paddling through Southeast, they happened to come out. And so we kind of had this impromptu program from them, and they were telling us about their planned adventure and their marine debris advocacy. So that was really cool when you have opportunities like that. And I'm also always looking for guest presenters, because that's the fun of it, is kind of that sharing knowledge. And so this Friday, it's actually us, the Forest Service, talking. We're kind of just give an update, not just on recreation like I'm doing today, but just on stuff that we've got going on the past year and in the future as well. And then our next special guest speaker is July 6th. Mark Robinson will come out, and he always brings out his great collection of rocks. And so it's great for all those rock hounds out there to come out and learn about rocks and ask questions from Mark. And then, let's see, other guests, I have some other guests kind of lined out, though I don't have certain dates yet. But I'm always hope that the Cape Decision Lighthouse volunteers come. They've been coming the last few years, and it's always great when they come out and update us on what they're doing out there. They're great folks. And then also hopefully we'll have a speaker from the Forestry Science Lab up in Juneau, and kind of update us more on like actual research that's going on in the Forest Service. And that's probably sometime in August. But if any listeners out there have, you know, if you're part of an organization, or if you have a something you'd like to share with the group, like you've gone on an adventure or you have something you're working on and you'd like to share it with visitors and the community, again, give me a call, 874-2323, and I'd be happy to talk to you if you want to kind of present something. And it's really informal too. It's like really, it's more of a conversation Q&A thing than a PowerPoint kind of. It's more about very
potluck dinner, yeah, conversation over dinner.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we call it the campfire program. Yeah, it's fun. And some weeks we don't have a speaker, and we just kind of say, oh, maybe we kind of introduce a theme for the night. But oftentimes it just turns into conversation.
Yeah. And those are Friday nights. The potlucks begin at 6 with the program
at 7-ish,
roughly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so it's about 17 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. We do encourage you to call in if you have a question for Corey or a comment about any of the programs. Give us a call here at 874-2345, and we'll be right back. And we are back 18 and a half minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And Corey Delabru, who works at the Wrangell Ranger District, is our guest this afternoon on Talk on the Rock. We've been talking about programs, other things on the agenda this afternoon to talk about that help all of us when we're out recreating trails.
Yeah. So if we're talking about outdoor recreation, one thing that falls on the Forest Service is also to kind of help make it easier to recreate is to have the trails. And so actually going on this week and next week as well is some a big major trail project. And yeah, it's been a big planning effort, thanks to my boss, Tori Hauser, big planning effort on getting this ready to go. And the AmeriCorps crew, and they've been on the show before, yeah, and you've probably seen them around town.
Well, and they're volunteering here,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's right. They're on, like, yes, almost every night. Yes, I love their, yes. Yeah, yeah. And set AmeriCorps crew, they actually all headed up there today. The helicopter is out, and they're going to be camped up there all this week and working on the trail.
Is that the Rainbow Falls
It's technically the Institute Creek Trail. It's mm-hmm. that trail that goes above Rainbow. And to kind of give you an idea of the project area, if you know where the Institute Creek has that big junction at the Muskeg, where you can go one way, you can go up to Shoemaker Overlook, and the other way you can go continue to the other shelters, like the pond and the high country areas. Or just called the junction. So from that junction, about a mile headed towards Rainbow. That's their main project area. And they're going to be working on replacing broken boards and just trying to fix up the trail in its most, you know, broken down sections. And then another goal is to try to put the non-skid surface, that mm-hmm. hardware cloth, on mm-hmm. on the entire trail. Just because I know that's one, I think the trail-wise, it's probably the most comments we get is about how slippery that trail is, and why people don't always love boardwalk, you know, in that terrain. You know, it helps, you know, it keeps it from the mud, and it keeps above, you know, especially Muskeg, you need that right. boardwalk. But one of the complaint is it does get slippery, especially when wet. Yeah. So we're going to put that non-skid surface on the entire trail as well.
Nice.
And yeah, and then it's just an ongoing process of trying to replace sections that are, you know,
rotting out,
yeah,
or breaking. Or...
That's the problem. You know, wood in the rainforest. It's...
Nature always wins.
Yeah.
Okay, so great. They're replacing that. That will make hiking a better experience for folks. What other trail work?
So they'll be working on that trail. Let's see, they'll be working. Actually, we went out to there today. They'll be out there till Friday. They're camped out there, so fun experience for them. And then they'll also work on it next week, Monday through Thursday. They're going to get as much done as they can, the AmeriCorps crew. And then we also have, again, we're always about partners, WCA, through them, we have, through their transportation program, we have a trail crew with them. And that trail crew will continue working on putting that non-skid surface down on the trail. And they'll also... work on the other trails on the island. They'll go out and off island. They'll go to Kunk Lake mm-hmm. on Edelin, and after the Annan season is kind of, the visitor season is done, they'll go and try to fix the problem areas on that boardwalk as well, and kind of re-graveling the Toms Lake Trail. And then something that all our trails need as well is like kind of like this, that good old like brushing, especially so brushing the trail. And that's That could probably keep him busy all summer.
Spend a whole summer yeah. maintaining that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And so, anything else on trails?
It's kind of a small trail crew, so they'll be, you know, working as they can. And again, we always appreciate when people call in and like let us know, like especially like down, like sometimes like down trees. We always, every spring it seems like we get reports about from people like, oh, there's, you know, down trees, you know, on Rainbow or on this trail. And so sometimes we don't always get out every year, so it's helpful. It is helpful when people call and report things like that. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate that.
Makes it easier for you guys to mm-hmm. take care of things. So another thing folks in the area use is cabins. So what's the plan for cabins?
So I guess the plan for cabins is that we're doing the background work to make a plan, I guess. Okay. I guess that's where we're at. So there was a public meeting a few weeks ago now. It was at the very end of May. And I know it's hard. We try to, you know, we want to talk to the public as much as possible, but sometimes it's so hard, especially as we get closer to summer. To, you know, we tend to host these public meetings, but then oftentimes they're, you know, it's hard. I mean, if it's a nice day, it's like, oh, do I want to?
Do I really want to recreate,
or do I want to go to a meeting? Yeah. And there's stuff. I know, it's especially once you get to this time of year where school's out and it's summer, and so sitting in a meeting maybe is at night isn't maybe everyone's, you know, ideal format. But so that's why we have other ways to kind of let your voice be heard. And so this is actually a forest-wide kind of planning effort on. So the official name is the long-term sustainable cabin strategy that the whole forest is working on. There's, you know, 144 cabins across the entire forest, and that's just a lot of infrastructure. So they're asking all the districts to kind of like, you know, I guess right now we're at this like gathering comments on all the cabins stage. And then from there, we're kind of look into like what we can do. What can we do with the reality of kind of reduced funding? And mm-hmm. so, you know, I guess prioritize things. Like, these are the cabins that, you know, we need to prioritize and really put a lot of our, you know, effort and money into. And the other cabins, so lesser used cabins, I guess we're trying to like, that's what we want to hear from. We want to hear, like, even that we think it may be lesser used, but
maybe it's not.
But if it's important to people, mm-hmm. if it serves a really important function, like, that's the kind of, like, info that we want, like, in writing or in, you know, and there's different ways to comment. So I have hard copy forms at the office at the front desk. And this is actually just a list of all of our cabins. And so it gives people an opportunity to say, you know, this cabin is really important to me, or also looking for help. Like, especially for some of the harder to reach cabins, or ideas on what to do with some of the cabins, like some of the fly-in cabins, like it's hard to get to. But if people are willing to kind of say, we've been calling adopt a cabin. So we're kind of looking into other ways of sustaining these cabins and this infrastructure.
So kind of partnering with the public.
Yeah. Again, we've been talking about that a lot, haven't we?
That's kind of the reality these days, mm-hmm. you know, with funding what it is to keep things going. We need to buddy up.
And sometimes it can be a little difficult because, you know, to do that. And so I hopefully out of this like planning process, we'll come up with a better way of working with the community mm-hmm. and these partners to make it easier to have them help us.
Okay.
Sometimes it seems easier than it's like, oh, it seems like an easy thing to do, but sometimes there's a little more thought, things that we don't think of.
Reality is always different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, than just the sitting inside and thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Getting out there and doing it is always different.
Yeah.
So, but you do need some good data on on use and priorities and that sort of thing. So it sounds like there's some ways.
Priorities. And so there we have hard copy forms at the front desk, but then there's also a Facebook page and people can search for it. It's called the Tongass National Forest Cabin Users. And so on that Facebook page, and that's for the entire Tongass, and they've put out like different, I know they've put out like different polls on like, what would you prefer in a cabin? Like, you know, what kind of heating source, like wood or oil? And so they've been using that also to kind of try to compile comments as well from people on what they want to see in cabins.
Mm-hmm.
But that one's, you know, that one's forest wide. And so, people, if they like to use electronics, they can comment that way. They can come to the front desk and get a good old-fashioned hard copy. They can do both. That's great as well. So we get both comments here on the district, but then the forest as a whole can also see the Facebook comments. And we're looking for those, kind of collecting them all by the end of June. So
we're wrapping up June, so if you have an opinion or if you have a comment or if you have a thought on that, this is your opportunity to let the Forest Service know what your cabin use is and what your priorities are. Maybe you have a great idea that nobody else has ever thought of that might help sustain cabins mm-hmm. into the future.
And we'll probably also talk about this at the Friday night potluck as well.
Okay.
We're always about handing out the comment forms, like, please.
We want to know.
Yeah, we want to know. I know, but it's summertime and people are a bit more have their minds on like recreating rather than planning, you know.
Yeah.
But we'd love, you know, we're always looking for for feedback on that.
Yeah, it's important. So before we wrap it up, do you want to touch on anything? I mean, we want to remind people about the fun on Saturday out at Pat's Lake. Encourage everybody to go.
Mm-hmm. That's my big thing. I, you know, I was like when I was asked, like, oh, it was a perfect day to do it, because yeah, that's my big thing for June is the fishing day. And I just want to, I mean, I know it's a nice day, so I've seen people out today. I'm just happy that I see people out. And I just, you know, I always have that message of, you know, the Tongass, the forest, the Wrangell. This is, you know, your public land. And hopefully we provide these programs to help us, you know, encourage people to go out and enjoy our public lands. And we also really appreciate it when people, you know, help us out by commenting and on these things, and also just, you know, when they are, you know, respect the land as well, when they're out recreating and, you know, everyone does their part, you know, and picking up trash, even if it's not yours, and reporting stuff that might be, you know, that might be needed. So
that just increases the enjoyment for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Just makes it a better experience for everybody. So,
yeah, but I'm just glad that everyone's out there and, you know, enjoying their forest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming in. It's been great. It's always great to have you here. So thank you very much.
I feel
much.
Like I could just keep talking. I love the forest so much. I just keep talking about it, but
we all do. That's part of why we all live here. So it's right now 1:30, and you are listening to KSDK. This has been Talk on the Rock. And join us again next Tuesday for another edition. I'm not sure who our guest will be, but June will be back in the studio next week for another edition of Talk on the Rock.